God. Thank you, Pastor Chuck. Looking forward to fellowship later on as we communicate more. It's always a joy to be back in Israel, come twice a year, visit about 35, 40 ministries each time I come. We have been doing this now, celebrating 30 years of traveling back and forth to the land, and I just join the others that are in the chorus, I couldn't believe, I felt like I was in a Billy Graham meeting there for a moment, dear sister, when you were singing. He just celebrated his 97th birthday on November the 7th, and I beat him. I turned 75 on November the 6th. So now that I'm 75, I can come to a church like this and, you know, from North America and be right at home. And I'm just so delighted to be here this morning. Praise God. Well, I can't believe the topic that came to my heart for today, facing the end times. I didn't realize how appropriate that was until I got a text message from my wife about 4 something this morning. Of course, I'm in jet lag a little bit, but that's okay. And I'd just like you to turn in your Bibles. We've been reading scriptures this morning. And as we ask the Lord to teach us something fresh this morning about facing the days that we live in, turn to Matthew chapter 24. If you would kindly. Then Jesus went out, verse 1, and departed from the temple. His disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple and so on. And Jesus said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say unto you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." And then, with this background, picturing something we all know about, Jesus begins to speak about the future, beyond what we just read. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said, "Take heed that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Sounds like today. The worst attack since World War II happened this weekend in Europe. And we're all praying, and we've all been praying. "See that you are not troubled." Now that's quite a word. "For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated of all nations for my sake." Wow, we just heard that this morning, didn't we, from Pakistan. We've been hearing it on all corners. Hundreds, thousands giving their lives for Jesus. Wow. We're just reading the newspaper. I just brought a copy of the latest newspaper with me, folks. It's right here. "And then many will be offended and will betray one another, and will hate one another. Now, I'd like to help us this morning to know how to not get in that groove. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound. Now, living in North America, I can look back 75 years. I can look back when the city I'm very close to, Toronto, I can look back at a city that was called Toronto the Good. I can look back when you used to go for a walk on Sunday afternoon and it was a quiet city. And people were out on the streets with their families and so on. I don't need to go into the whole history. But oh, what a change. Oh, how times have changed. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. We don't want our love to grow cold, do we? The Lord's teaching me on agape. Wow, that real, genuine, God-given love. But he who endures to the end will be saved, thank God. And don't we love this verse? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Wow. Have we got hope this morning? The gospel is going to go forth. And we've been hearing testimony this morning how the gospel is going forth. You can be assured that in Paris today, the gospel is going forth. You can be assured today that there are names of individuals in that city and around the world that are coming to Yeshua because of what's happening in Paris today. This gospel shall go forth to all nations. It's amazing how something can happen in Paris that seems to be the total opposite, and yet that very circumstance that we are looking at and thinking about today can turn hearts of people to God. Hallelujah. Oh God, allow multitudes to turn to you in this way. Wars and rumors of wars. Uncertain future. Wow. What do we do? Well, Luke adds a little bit to this from a different perspective, but about the same thing. Luke 21, 25, and 26. Concerning Jesus' coming. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth dismay among nations, in perplexities at the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting from fear and the expectation of things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Oh my, my. And all this, Luke says, before the coming of the Lord. Well, several weeks ago, in the midst of wondering about the present crisis on all sides, I'm looking to come to Israel. I've never, ever in 30 years had the sense of coming to Israel like the sense this time. It was different. I don't know how, if you're visiting here today, you felt about coming to Israel this time, but it was definitely different than 29 visits, or I should say, oh, wow, 62 visits of the past, and this is my 63rd. And this 63 is different. And in the midst of this, I just happened to open to Jeremiah chapter 17. which is all about sin and judgment. And lo, when I came to verse 7 and 8, I was greatly encouraged. Listen carefully to the words in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by waters. Wow. Planted by waters. He shall be like a tree planted by water. Have more water and more water. And planted by waters. Thank God. Which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when the heat comes. Wow, are you drinking that in today? But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought. Well, I've heard of so many reports this year. Every time I turn on the news to get the weather report, there's a drought somewhere. Nor will cease from yielding fruit. Amazing, in the time of drought, we yield fruit. Spiritual, physical. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I don't know about you, but Deuteronomy can add to this, and you might like to turn there, Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And this is Moses looking at it. Moses passes on some powerful encouragement to Israel out of his life experiences with the Lord when he faces the enemies. And he says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he it is that goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Good news. In a dry and thirsty land. John 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank you, Lord. We are the recipients of water from heaven. The water of the Word. Hebrews 13, 6 has another precious word of help. In the midst of fear, it says in Hebrews 13, 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is our helper. I will not fear what man shall do to me. Go ahead, do what you will. I'm not afraid. Have you thought about that lately? I said to a friend the other day, I said, I've come, I die, I die. I live, I live. Do we have that kind of confidence? Are we there with the Lord? Are we living without fear? We're in His hands, you know. Facing the wars within, how do we have victory and not go with that crowd that's going to turn back and become obnoxious and flee from the truth? How do we do this? Jesus declared on one occasion that the eye is the lamp of the body, Matthew 6:22. I remember in taking one of my art classes about a half a year ago, I do that. That's my getaway. That's my weekly do something else. That's my weekly do something I enjoy and can just sit and create. And so I was painting a picture of the Swiss Alps. I love watercolors, the forests, the mountains, the clearing. And right in the center of the clearing, a tiny, tiny, like you've got these huge mountains at the top and then the forests and then there's an opening. There's fields that are rolling, and right in the middle of the picture, there's this tiny little church with a big tall steeple and all the buildings related to the church. Amazing. And there I was, and my teacher was looking on at one point when I was putting a tiny little cross. I don't even know how small. It was so tiny. And then I was actually putting hands on the clock, which you could hardly see. And I looked at that, and he looked at it, and we were talking about detail. I was doing all this intricate work, and he commented about the, and I said something about the church. I said, this, you know, there's different ways to witness, you know, there's different ways to sort of talk about the Lord without talking about the Lord. And I said, oh, isn't it beautiful how the church is the main focus of this picture? And yet it's so small. And that was sort of a neat happening. And he looked at me and he said, like painting a face, he said. He said, you can paint a person's face. And he says, until you painted the eyes, you really don't have focus. But when you paint the eyes, you bring focus to the picture. That's what that little church did. And the fields and the buildings around the church, it brought focus to the picture. You knew the purpose of that picture. It was saying, God is in the middle of the Swiss Alps. Wow. Woo! Hey. Now, our eyes are key in relationship to the wars we face within. We see with our eyes physically. We see with our mind spiritually. We see with our spirit supernaturally. Remember when you got and you said, Jesus, come into my heart. And all of a sudden there was a different world released inside of you. And you turned for the first time in your life and said, I know he's here. In my heart, in my life. You didn't know that a half an hour before, but boy, you sure knew it then. That's called the supernatural, folks. You see. You see something in the spirit, man, you can see it with your physical eyes, you can see it with your spiritual eyes. When you read the Word of God, something pops right out. But then you see it in your spirit. Oh, wow. Man, I'm different now. I'm different now. Let's finish that verse where Jesus was commenting on the eyes. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body is full of light. Hey man, how are we going to face the end times? We've got to have our whole body full of light. And everybody said, oh, come on. And everybody said, now that's pretty good. That's you're coming. And everybody said, you're getting there. You're getting there. It's going to come. It's going to come. The eye as a lamp, which is the light of our entire body. It's the entrance to our hearts and minds. The eye provides a doorway to our very souls. Yes, the ears are there and all the other parts. The question is, what do we see? How do we perceive things? The difference between godliness and ungodliness, between light and darkness, ability to move around obstacles. Or do our eyes stop and linger on evil? Are you lingering on the evil of Paris? Or are you allowing the evil of Paris to bring you to the light? And pray in the midst of horrible darkness? Or are you focusing on the darkness and saying, oh God, not another. And all you talk about is Paris, 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 and all the tragedy and the horror, and let's watch another news broadcast, and let's watch another news broadcast, and let's turn it on again and again. Let's just, this is awful. Or are we watching it and are we praying? Satan disguises himself as an angel of light, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Be careful in these days. There are thoughts in your mind that are not being transformed by the angel of darkness. But you're allowing the Holy Spirit to work and transform your mind and bring you to light through the light of the world, Jesus. The enemy binds us to truth. He blinds us to truth. See, I'm 75 now, so I have an excuse for misreading my own printing. And corrupts our minds and uses our eyes to gain entrance to our hearts. Now, let's go out on the street. You talk. What was that testimony today about someone that sold himself into prostitution and all that stuff? You know, we've heard stuff like that this morning. Okay, what about pornography? You can get your eyes over there. You can get distracted. You can get distracted on the internet. Materialistic impulses. Wow. The movies you watch. The images we allow our eyes to linger upon. Job 31, verse 1. I have made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I look upon a young woman? Wow. Imagine the ministries I visit where they're dealing with all kinds of stuff like I just described, where they're giving counsel, where they're giving advice, and where we're praying together and saying, oh God, bring deliverance over these people and what they're thinking and what they're doing and how they think and how they act. I can remember in high school, the leader of our inter-school Christian fellowship work, I'll call him Bill. And I can remember being at a Saturday night sports night. I was working on the city cabinet in the city of Toronto, and we would meet once a month and we'd have kids in from all over the city. It was a great, great time of inviting friends that didn't know the Lord to come, and we had a sports night and we had all kinds of discussions and finally got into some Bible studies and so on. And I can remember one evening watching Bill, our leader, in a group session of mixed young men and young women. And, you know, everybody was dressed sort of like for the court, you know, and I watched his eyes. And he never looked below here on anybody. I just kept looking at him. And I was looking around me and I say, boy, there's an invitation on every corner here to look lower than here. That really spoke to me. That really got a hold of my heart. I said, you're going to lead, then you keep looking above here. There's an inability to get through unless we die to ourselves. We read this verse, listen carefully to what I'm going to say now. How do we die to ourselves? Matthew 16, verse 21 to 27. I'll just read parts of that. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. That which you carried out in the Spirit of the Lord. The inability to get through unless we die to ourselves. Oh, what discipline it takes. Do you live above this? Guys, do you live above this? I'm 75 and I still have to live above this. Five times a day, 10 times a day, 20 times a day, 30 times a day. I still have to live above this. I'm a human being. God says, do you want to get through? He says, you have to learn how to watch with your eyes, spiritually, physically, supernaturally. We get a clue in the scriptures, you know, about how to be clothed. And it's come to me recently. Ephesians chapter 5. And I was praying and I was saying, Lord, I know that there's something, there's a Hebrew word. I said, I can't remember what that Hebrew word is, but it's I would love to have it for my message. And lo and behold, if Johnny didn't come up this morning and started to talk about avodah. For those of you who don't know avodah, it's worship. But you know what it also is? It's the same word for work. Worship and work are the same thing in Hebrew. It's amazing. Amazing. Thanks, Yanni. Did I say Johnny? There we go there. Good. Appreciate that. So I look at Ephesians here and it says, how are we going to walk in wisdom through all the crud? Verse 15 of Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation or excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Wow. Be filled with the Spirit. How many of you know what the word default means? When you're working on your computer. Isn't this amazing? What is this? Two people in this room? Oh, three. Okay, come on. I want an honest show. How many of you know what default is? Oh, we're getting a few hands now. Okay. Do you know that I tried to understand the word default on my computer for years, and it was only this week that the Lord showed me what default meant. That was my fault. See, and if you put that in French, you call it default. Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Now, it's amazing, and my sister wrote me a letter, and she talked about our cup being full. And she said, you work through the day, and you do the will of God, you carry out the work of God, you worship God, and you work. You worship and you work. And the water level goes down. But what do you do at the end of the day? Because this is a picture of the being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you work and you worship and you work and you worship and the water goes down. But what do you want to do at the end of the day? You want to bring the cup back to the default position. And then I saw it. Back to the fullness. Back to its original place, where it should be. So, don't forget this. Let your life come back to the default position. Now, I like to look at that full cup, so I'll drink out of the bottle here. I don't want to destroy my illustration by drinking it. All right. Now, we learn by doing was my high school motto. Another Toronto experience. Worship and work combined. You see, how do we face the wars without and how do we face the wars within? You can't face these wars in a vacuum. You can't just be in a bubble believer. You have to allow yourself to engage in work. We don't grow unless we engage. Worship and work go together. They are one and the same thing. And unless we engage in both, not only will we not experience the default position with our cup every day being full, but we'll be wondering, why am I having such problems getting through this world that I'm in that's so horrible? Mainly in my own mind. Think about it. You need a work for your hands to do in the kingdom. My first work that I can remember specifically was that I was called. I called. Yes, Lord, thank you. It was a call. I was teaching 10-year-old boys at our church, our congregation. And I knew that if I was going to teach those 10-year-old boys, I needed to practice what I was preaching. You see, I was not only worshiping the Lord, I was not only being a believer, but I was also working out my faith by becoming active in some work. And you cannot face the wars within unless you are engaged in activity in the kingdom. Because there's nothing to rule you or help you unless you are working out your salvation with fear and trembling. So if you're hesitating to engage in the kingdom, you are likely in great difficulty in your mind. You are likely having wars and rumors of wars in your mind. And you wonder why there's such wars and rumors of wars. I mean, engaging in battle is war enough itself. But if you don't engage in battle, it's worse. It's horrible. It's what Matthew says. You go back out there, nah, 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 I can't stand this. I'm going to leave my faith. Wow. Let me close with this. Acts chapter 3. And this is from my heart to your heart today. Engagement. Now, here's Peter and John, Acts 3. They went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of those who entered the temple. Now you get the setting. Now go back to the first couple of chapters of Acts, and Jesus is gone. Now imagine today Jesus is in the midst with us here. We are his disciples. We are with him now. We are observers. We are watching. Oh yes, there's some participation, but basically he's turning the loaves and fishes. He's multiplying them. He's healing the blind man. He's doing it. Jesus is doing all these miracles. And we're saying, wow, wow, wow. And then Jesus is gone. And we know what he said to them before he left. He said, I gotta go. I gotta go because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit can't come. And if the Holy Spirit can't come, you've only got one of me sitting here right in front of you. Got to come into me for teaching all the time. But I want to send the Holy Spirit because he's going to be your teacher. He's going to be inside you. God is going to be inside you wherever you go. And it doesn't matter how many of you there are, he'll be there. Wow. And Peter and John are stepping out. It's their first occasion, at least according to the word here. This is the first act of ministry. And they're walking towards the temple, Beautiful. And they're seeing this man, lame from birth. Everybody in the city knows this man. And this man does what he does every day as they pass by. Alms, alms, alms. Money, please. What do they say? Oh, man, it's so amazing. We miss it. We focus on silver and gold have I none. That's true. That's where we focus. Okay, I want to take your focus off that and I want to put it where we all ought to be. You ready? You ready? Jesus is gone. Worship and works. Avoda. They go together. He's gone. Who's here? It's you. Look on us! Look on us! We are his representative! Look on us! We don't have silver. We don't have gold. But such as we have in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk! Now, I don't think they might have shouted it quite that loud, but for emphasis' sake. Friends, you want to engage in end times? You want to face the wars without? You want to face the wars within? Then avoda to you. Avoda to you. Worship and works. Put them together. And when you step out of this place today, don't go out and say, well now, well, can we help with this charity and help with that work? They're wonderful. They're marvelous. All of these wonderful works. Go out of this place today saying, look at us.
my teenage life in Maple Leaf Gardens in the city of Toronto. You ministered to my soul, my spirit, my life. Jesus was here. You fired up my being inside. I said, this is God. Look at me. You take that French language. You take that work in the Holy Spirit. Because God has brought you here. He's put clothing on you that no one else in your corner has. I love you. I love you. You are such a blessing to so many thousands of people. There's such a long train. I can't even see the end of the train of all the people that your life has touched. And you won't know a quarter of it, a half of it, a third of it. A time, you know this much. God says, wait until you get there. And I introduce you to all the people on the train. When you're sitting at a restaurant, wait for a nudge. Like I did at one of our subways in London, Ontario, a month ago. That's a place that sells sandwiches. It's not a train that rides under the ground. Just so you know. And I went into this subway. And I just looked at the guy behind the counter that was serving me and filling up a little bun with all kinds of goodies. And I got a nudge. And I said, Lord, you want me to say something over the counter where he's serving me? And, you know, you hesitate. How can I talk to this guy? There's 16 people around, whatever. I said, well, okay. And open the door. I'll say, look at me. And I couldn't believe it. I mean, there's a lady at the cash. There's 5 people in line. And this guy leaves serving me. And he comes over where the cash is. And I can't believe it. I'm putting my credit card in. And as I put my credit card in the machine to pay for the stuff, he's standing right in front of me. And I get this sentence in my mind, you have been a great blessing to many. I can't believe it. So it's like I'm reading the newspaper in my brain. And I take the credit card up and I look up and I look right into his face and I say, look at me. And I say, you have been a great blessing to so many people. And I said, not only have you been such a blessing to so many people, but I said, before this year is through, you are going to come to an understanding of forgiveness that you have never experienced in your life. God bless you and have a wonderful evening.
Worship. Works. Avoda to you.